Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the Bills and a national perspective on what's going on. Boy, quarterback injuries have been a big story so far in the NFL. On our Western Hotline is Gary Gramling, SI Senior Editor, Sports Illustrated, also host of the MMQB NFL podcast, and he's with us right now. Gary, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
No problem, guys.
Well, we'll start with Buffalo, Mr. Gramling. The Bills are 2-0. What should Bills fans be thinking at this point?
Honestly, be thinking good things. They went on the road, won two games. I mean, I realize the Giants and Jets aren't top-end elite teams here. I really thought the Jets were a playoff-caliber team coming into the year. Now, obviously, with no Sam Darnold, they are not. But, the Bills got Sam Darnold. They had to come back and win that game. Josh Allen is still uneven, which is to be expected at this point, but that defense looks like it might be dominant, and this is a good spot for them. There's no reason they can't be in the wild card conversation here.
Yeah, you bring up Darnold, and I wanted to tie this into, Gary, the wild card picture. The Bills are 2-0, and so you start looking at things around the AFC. Luck retires, Roethlisberger gets hurt, Darnold's going to be back in a few weeks, but they could be maybe 0-4 or worse. Their schedule is brutal the next few games. Foles got injured. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on with other quarterbacks in the conference and how this all impacts the wild card race, maybe from our perspective here?
I mean, look, it really is wide open. You kind of look at the AFC South and say, could you see a scenario where the Colts, Texans, and Titans, I think those are all very good teams, they could all take off. Roethlisberger going down, I think the Steelers are, you don't want to hold their memorial service yet, but I don't see how the Steelers are going to win 9 or 10 games here with Mason Rudolph. And then, Dolphins are not in the conversation. I think Jets are probably out of the conversation at this point. Some good breaks around the league right now. You figure maybe the Chargers have a run in them. I thought the Chargers were a little bit overrated coming into the year, and I think you're going to see, as the year goes on, I think that defense is going to slide back a little bit without Derwin James and the ability to show teams a whole lot of different things. So, and like I said, going on the road and winning two games, that's a big deal in the NFL.
It's interesting. You know, I did want to ask if you thought the Steelers were done, and it's hard to say that after 0-2. Rudolph, I guess, looked good when he came in for Roethlisberger the other day, but you factor in Baltimore and how good they look, and you can let me know what you think about Cleveland, but they should be in the mix in that division, plus 0-2 and a tough division and their schedule, and it's hard, like you said, to get to the point to say in December they're going to be there in the race. So you would factor them out at this point.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, even when Roethlisberger was in there for six quarters or whatever it was, what they do offensively depends so much, and they've run really the same offense for years and years here. It depends so much on their receivers winning these one-on-one battles and getting open. And, I mean, you know, dropping off from Antonio Brown, no matter who it was going to be an issue there. But Dante Moncrief, I don't know, man. I think he can't play. Yeah. And so they're out there with Juju Smith-Schuster and a bunch of guys who are like number four receivers, and that offense just doesn't work like that. I guess the silver lining is you have Mason Rudolph coming in, and maybe you have to get a little more creative with what you do, but that's tough. I mean, look, 0-2 hole for them, and really if you said Roethlisberger was out coming into the season, you'd probably look at that team and say maybe they're a 7 or 8-win team.
What are your thoughts on the Colts? When the news came down about Luck, I think we all reacted like, okay, they're done. But a couple things here. I mean, they were a better team last year. It wasn't just having Luck. They made themselves a better football team. And Brissett looks like he's done okay the first couple weeks, right? He rallies them back in L.A. They lose in overtime. They go into Nashville off of their big win opening day. They beat the Titans. So what about the post-Andrew Luck Colts?
I really like the Colts, and I kind of like the Colts coming into the year. I think I did pick them to win that division even after the Luck retirement. I think you look at that team, I think they have a lot of similarities to the Cowboys of 2016 where, Marlon Mack isn't Zeke, but that offensive line in Indianapolis is one of the best in football. I mean, you can lean on sort of a run-heavy attack here and let Jacoby Brissett complement that. And I think Brissett's a much more complete quarterback than people think he is. Certainly he's much better than he was last time we saw him in 2017 when he was really just he was leading a bad team. He was in a tough spot that year. I guess that defense is the question for me. I thought they'd be better this season than they were last year, and it looks like maybe they slid back after a really good run to finish 2018. So that's the question going forward, but I still like them to win that division. It's close. I really like Tennessee and Houston, too, but I think I'd handicap that as Colts, Titans, Texans in the AFC South right now.
You left out the Jaguars, and that's another team I thought, you know, going into the season, again, here, when we're talking about the Bills, who might they have to beat out, I would always look at the Jaguars as well. So Foles goes down. Minshew's played okay, Gary, but they are 0-2, and you know, you mentioned that division. So what about Jacksonville down the road in the AFC? Are they dead?
I know. The Jaguars are still kind of fascinating here. I'm always skeptical of teams. You know, 2 years ago, their defense just it stood on its head. That was a really difficult season to replicate, no matter how good your defense is. It's almost like, you know, the Broncos back in 2015, and we keep on waiting for the Broncos defense to be absolutely historically great going forward, and it just hasn't happened. I think the Jaguars might be in that class. Obviously, with no Foles, that's an issue, as much as we all love Gardner Minshew's style here. But I just, you know, I had the feeling this offseason, I just think something's rotten there with the culture. The fact that Telvin Smith walks away and the team is just completely caught off guard by it, and now the Jalen Ramsey stuff, it just tells you that something's not right there.
We're with Gary Grambling from Sports Illustrated. I wasn't sure how to phrase this next question, but I am curious, and it seems crazy to put it this way, but is Cam Newton shot?
Ooh, it's looking more and more like it. I really don't think his shoulder has been an issue this year. I don't think it's an arm strength issue. I do think they, you know, outside of Curtis Samuel occasionally sneaking deep, I don't think they have the type of receivers to have the kind of downfield passing attack they've had in recent years. I mean, he has, what, like negative two rushing yards this year, which is just crazy. You know, and they're trying to find that sweet spot between putting him in danger and still taking advantage of his legs, which are, I mean, that's a big deal. That's mm-hmm. a big part of who Cam Newton is, and it just hasn't happened this year. And I try to look at it as, you know what, they lost by a field goal to a really good Rams team, and if Christian McCaffrey picks up another half yard, they beat Tampa on a short week there, and then maybe we're talking about something a little bit different, but it's worrisome right now what's going on with him, and I don't know. They got to get him going in the run game a little bit, just a little bit, and maybe that sort of gets the confidence back and going. But he's always, you know, like Josh Allen, he's always been a scattershot accuracy guy, as good as the arm is, and he has just been all over the place the first two games.
The last thing I want to ask you about, we were just having this discussion. We were talking about players and maybe having more leverage and working themselves into points where they get traded now, okay? And I mean, it's not like it never happened, Gary, but it seems like it's happening more often, and it's happening with some big-name players, prominent guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Le'Veon Bell, even a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick, who's a first-round pick, gets himself traded in year two. Now Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded. Are we seeing a new era in the NFL?
I think we might be. I think, if anything, the Antonio Brown stuff with the Steelers, who didn't want to trade him. And
yeah, I left him out too, Gary. Thanks for mentioning Antonio Brown. I left out kind of the big name there, right?
Yeah. Have you guys talked about that guy lately? You should see what's going on with him.
Yeah, I've heard there's something happening, yes. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
He's the fact that he asked out of a team that didn't want to trade him, and they took a really not a very good package for him. I think that sort of was a signal to some of these guys, like, hey, I can do that. I can do what AB did. And the other thing is, a lot of these teams are you know, look what Laremy Tunsil got. You know, a lot of these teams are willing to give up these draft picks all of a sudden. And I think it has a little less to do with devaluing the draft picks, and a little more to do with some of these decision makers saying, you know what, we can stockpile these draft picks, but if I'm not here to make them, what do I care? So I'm gonna turn them in for talent now and see if I can win some games.
Gary is the senior editor at Sports Illustrated, also host of the MMQB NFL podcast and kind enough to talk a little football from a national perspective with us. Gary, thanks for coming on. It was nice having the show today.
Oh, you got it, guys. Anytime.
Have a good day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.